for that beautiful cock. In his talk, he mentioned how we need our God brothers and God sisters to help us understand our spiritual master. We help each other.
We can't hear anything. Mm-hmm. There is an amplification system here.
I brought it, but Kirtan's on his way, but I don't know where the mic is. I think
there's one solution. You can move closer. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha.
So as Maharaj said, this is a very significant event in the life of the living entity when he or she becomes officially connected to the parampara. Parampara means literally one after the other. So God or Krishna is the original guru, and he imparted knowledge to his first disciple, direct disciple. He imparted knowledge to his disciple. He imparted knowledge to his disciple, and in this way the knowledge has been passed on from master to student in an unbroken chain. And so we repeat the message that we received, the knowledge that we received from Krishna. And in the same way, service is offered back to Krishna through that same line. We serve our guru, he serves his guru, he serves his guru, and all the way back to the original guru, Krishna. And today in particular, these devotees are being initiated into the chanting of the holy names, especially the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because by this method, one can end one's material existence and ultimately achieve love of Godhead, which is the qualification for going back home, back to Godhead. As Maharaj quoted indirectly, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. That the living entities are wandering in so many different universes and so many different species of life, but when one is fortunate by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets the seed of devotional service. And the seed is the process. And one, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that when one receives the seed, he should become a gardener. Maharaj was a gardener. We should all become gardeners. Malihana. And water that seed by Shravana Kirtana Jal, by hearing and chanting about it. Krishna, or God. And one should also fence that seed or that creeper when it begins to grow. And the fencing is the circle of pure devotees. We should always stay in the circle of pure devotees. And that will protect us. And then if we continue watering that seed, that plant will ultimately grow and pierce through the coverings of the universe and take shelter in the spiritual kingdom of God at the lotus feet of Krishna. So the chanting the chanting is very easy, as Srila Prabhupada said, but the determination to chant is not so easy. And therefore, the association of other chanters is very important. Now, to get the full effect of the chanting, one must avoid offenses while chanting. And therefore, at every initiation ceremony, Srila Prabhupada would discuss the 10 offenses. And I shall also do so, reading from one of Srila Prabhupada's books, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Before we begin reading, we will recite a little mantra. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
So we read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 8. The author receives the orders of Krishna and Guru. Text 24. Krishna nama kare aparadera vichara. Krishna balile aparadira nahaye vikara. There are offenses to be considered while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one does not become ecstatic. So our motto in the Hare Krishna movement is to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We have a whole book called Chant and Be Happy. And we can chant and be happy if we chant without offense. And therefore, it's important to know what these offenses are so we can avoid them. And in fact, by hearing what the offenses are, we can learn how to do the opposite. Not just to avoid the negative, but to actually engage in the positive. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is very beneficial to chant the names Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because by chanting these two holy names, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, one immediately becomes ecstatic. And then if he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he becomes free of offenses. So this is our process, to always chant the names of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasa Adigaur Bhakta Vinda. And that helps us to chant Hare Krishna, because these lords are so merciful that they don't consider offenses. And by chanting their names, we can feel transcendental bliss. And then in that state, we can chant Hare Krishna without offenses. There are 10 offenses to avoid in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The first offense is to blaspheme great personalities who are engaged in distributing the holy name of the Lord. It is said in the Shastra, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 7:11, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. One cannot distribute the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra unless he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should not criticize or blaspheme a devotee who is thus engaged. So the holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself. And the preacher of the holy name is Krishna's servant, a dear servant. So naturally, if we criticize or oppose Krishna's dear servant, Krishna will not be pleased. He will, it's said that he recedes, the holy name recedes, draws back from one who criticizes the holy name's servant. So this is a very important principle. In fact, we'll read in a minute that blaspheming the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagate the holy name is the worst offense. And living in a society of devotees, we can, even without thinking, criticize them. And that is very, very damaging. We'll also come to the point that if we chant inattentively, then that gives scope for all the other offenses to flourish. And if we chant with attention, then that will remove all the other offenses. Of course, beginning with the offense of inattentive chanting. So, our god brother, Purijan Prabhu, has given many nice seminars on chanting the holy name. And at one such seminar, he gave the students an exercise that had two parts. One part was to see if they could chant attentively, because that's the crucial point. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that the effort to chant with attention is what defines the clearing stage. The consistent effort to chant with attention is what defines the clearing stage of chanting. And without that, we're in the offensive stage. So Bhurijan Prabhu gave them the exercise to chant with attention. And the other was not to criticize devotees. Because criticizing devotees is most harmful. And it is unfortunately common. Face to face, on the internet, it's everywhere. So then the next morning at the seminar, he asked the devotees how they did on their exercise. So one of the devotees said that she had tried not to indulge in criticizing any devotees, but that she was not successful because that the criticism was in the environment. That's what she said. And Bhurijan Prabhu replied, well, you have two choices. One is to change the environment, and the other is not to go along with the environment. And he said, if you want to change the environment, good luck, because the environment doesn't want to change. The environment wants to criticize. So you have to decide, of course, within a limited sphere we can try, that's what we're talking about right here, but in a broader sense, it's beyond us. But we can decide that we're not going to participate in that criticism of devotees. And that is very important. In fact, by nature, pure devotees do not want to hear criticism of other devotees. I heard recently about our godbrother Jayananda, who just would not hear criticism of devotees. He would either change the subject, and if he couldn't, then he would just leave the place. He just would not hear. And I heard also Gauri Dasi, the great book distributor from Los Angeles. She would try to change the subject. If someone would come up and say, did you hear what such and such did or what so and so did? She said, well, I think I know that person really cooked a good offering the other day. That person, she would like to glorify the person. So that's the other side, that on the negative side, we don't want to blaspheme devotees. On the positive side, we want to glorify them. Therefore, one should not criticize or blaspheme a devotee who is engaged in distributing the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Padma Purana states, Satam Ninda Namnam Paramam Aparadam Vitanike Yata Kyuti Yati Katam Sautate Tadvigraham. To blaspheme the great saintly persons who are engaged in preaching the glories of the Hare Krishna mantra is the worst offense at the lotus feet of the holy name.
Can we, yeah, just to repeat, because sometimes we have to. Sometimes we do it without even thinking. It's like casually, just a casual conversation, and we're criticizing. Not even conscious, but we should be conscious. One should not criticize a preacher of the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If one does so, he is an offender. The Nam Prabhu, who is identical with Krishna, will never tolerate such blasphemous activities, even from one who passes as a great devotee. The second Nam Aparad, Nam means the holy name, and Aparad means offense, so the second offense against the holy name, is described as follows. Shivasya Sri Vishnurya Iha Guna Namadi Sakalam Diya Bhuninam Pasyat Sakali Harinam Ahitakara. This is very significant on two levels. In this material world, the holy name of Vishnu is all auspicious. Vishnu's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental, absolute knowledge. Therefore, if one tries to separate the absolute personality of Godhead from his holy name, or his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, thinking them to be material, that is offensive. So, ignorant people often have that idea that we, for example, when Srila Prabhupada spoke at the Harvard Divinity School, so one of the students, and they were bright, or they considered themselves to be very bright. So one of them said, you know, you say that we should repeat, you know, Hare Krishna, but couldn't you get the same result just by counting 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3? And Prabhupada smiled. He said, of course, that is not possible. But if you like, you can try counting. And when you get tired of counting, you can try chanting. So the holy name is Krishna, so we shouldn't think of it as anything other than Krishna. And if we have faith in Krishna, then we will understand that his name and qualities and form and pastimes are all Krishna. Even the deity is Krishna. If we think it's just a piece of stone or metal, then that's also an offense. Now, there's another level to this offense. Similarly, to think that the names of demigods, such as Lord Shiva, are as good as the name of Lord Vishnu, or in other words, to think that Lord Shiva and the other demigods are other forms of God and therefore equal to Vishnu, is also blasphemous. So we understand. But this is a problem, like in different kirtan venues. They don't really distinguish things. You know, Krishna, Krishna, Shiva, Shiva, Durga, Durga. So that's a tricky area that we have to negotiate and navigate when we preach in those circles, to help them understand the difference between the Supreme Godhead and the demigods, without their thinking that we're being sectarian or partial. And there's another level to this, and that is that God is known by different names in different traditions. In Christian tradition, Muslim tradition, and it's also an offense to think that the name of Krishna is different from the names of God in the other traditions. And if we do, then we are committing an offense. Srila Prabhupada had a disciple named Atreya Rishi. He was very proud of this disciple. He was from Iran. And his previous name was Akhtar, Feroz Akhtar. So Prabhupada gave him the name Atreya Rishi. So when Prabhupada visited there, Tehran, Atreya Rishi gave this very eloquent proclamation that he's just waiting until all the people in Iran were chanting Hare Krishna.
The seventh offense is described as follows. Nano balad yasya hi tapabhutya vidyate sasya yamaya hi shruti. To think that since the Hare Krishna mantra can counteract all sensory actions, one may therefore go on with his sinful activities and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra and neutralize them, is the greatest offense of the Lord's teaching. Amen.
So this is also very important. It can have subtle manifestations, but it's a fact that if one has engaged in sinful activities and he surrenders to the Lord and chants the holy name, then by the chanting of the holy name, he's free from the reactions to all of his sinful activities. But if one is cunning and calculating and thinks, oh, well, I can engage in sinful activities, then I'll just chant and be free from the reaction. That is the greatest defense against the holiness. And it doesn't work. Even what to speak of chanting the holy name, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that even in ordinary ritualistic activities, if you deliberately engage in some sinful activity and think that you can neutralize the effects by engaging in some ritualistic activity, and there are such types of atonement, a prayaschitta, that also doesn't work. It only works if you commit the sin sort of accidentally, you know, by force of bad habit or bad association, but not calculating that, oh, I'll do it. It doesn't matter. I can always chat and I'll neutralize the reaction. Welcome to Srinivanda Puri. We have brought an asan for you. The eighth offense is stated thus. Dharma vratta tyaga huta adi sarva shubha kriya samyam api pramada. It is offensive to consider the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to be a religious ritualistic ceremony. Performing religious ceremonies, following vows, and practicing renunciation and sacrifice are all materialistic, auspicious activities. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha mantra must not be compared to such materialistic religiosity. This is an offense against the lotus feet of the holy name of the Lord. So sometimes people perform ritualistic activities to get some material benefit. And
if we think that the holy name is in the same category or want to use the holy name in the same way, that is an offense. There was a man, very interesting, but anyway, there was a meeting at the Bharati Vidya Bhavan in Bombay, and how the Bhagavad Gita could solve all the problems of India and the world. And before the conference began, the organizer and head of Bharati Vidya Bhavan, this is Nilavati Munshi, she invited the participants to her library to meet first. And so one of the sadhus there told Srila Prabhupada that he was having big gatherings and he was getting people to chant. And he was telling them if they chant, then they'll get cured of their material diseases. So he said, you know, you're gathering people, I'm gathering people, you're getting them to chant, I'm getting them to chant, so we should cooperate. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, because what you are proposing is against our principles. You know, we do not try to employ the holy name in our service materially, but we engage ourselves in the service of the holy name. So, yeah, there should be no... the holy name is Krishna. We're Krishna's servants. We're not meant to use the holy name for some material purpose. Now, within that Sanskrit, the last word is prabhadaha, which means, literally it means madness and craziness, but sometimes, depending on how the Sanskrit is analyzed, that is taken as an offense to be inattentive, pramadaha. Sometimes we recite the 10 offenses, and then we add it as also an offense to be inattentive, which is authentic. So that comes from that pramadaha. But as we've heard, that is really the root of the other offenses, so that's most important. The ninth offense is described as follows. Ashradane vimuke pi ashribati yas chopadesha shiva nam aparada. It is an offense to preach the glories of the holy name among persons who have no intelligence or no faith in the subject matter. Such people should be given the chance to hear the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, but in the beginning they should not be instructed about the glories or the spiritual significance of the holy name. By constant hearing of the holy name, their hearts will be purified, and then they will be able to understand the transcendental position of the holy name. So this is a subtle offense, because if we preach the glories of the holy name to someone who's really not receptive, then they will commit offenses. Don't think that the devotees are sentimentalists, or they're deluded, you know, whatever. I had an experience of this in a slightly different context, but my parents had come to visit me in India, and so we were actually on a flight to Srinagar, Kashmir. And so I thought, okay, well, my father considers himself to be a very rational person, so I will speak on the basis of Easy Journey to Other Planets, because that book is like couched in scientific language. And when I started telling him how by yoga you could go to other planets, and how by bhakti yoga you could go beyond the material universe to the spiritual sky, he looked at me in such a way, it was like, son, I was afraid that you were crazy, but hearing this, any doubt has been removed. And I realized that, yeah, this was a defense. I was like preaching to the faithless. He didn't have faith. And Srila Prabhupada has explained that until you can bring people to develop faith by speaking on the basis of, you know, logic and argument and reason, but if you preach to them on a level that requires faith in the first place, which they don't have, it's an offense, because they will become more offensive to you and the philosophy that you're trying to impart. So, yeah. Important points. But they can hear, they can take prasad. As Prabhupada said, prasad is our secret weapon, so that's always a good approach. Safe and effective. The tenth offense is as follows. Shrute pi nama mahatmya ya priti rahito naraha. Aham mamadi paramo namni sopya parada krit. If one has heard the glories of the transcendental holy name of the Lord, but nevertheless continues in a materialistic concept of life, thinking, I am this body, and everything belonging to this body is mine, aham mameti, and does not show respect and love for the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is an offense. Or sometimes we say to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions in the matter. So it's not an offense to have material attachments. It's an anartha, but it's not an offense. And offenses are more stubborn and difficult to deal with than anarthas. But it is an offense to maintain material attachments. It's a sort of duplicity, because when we chant, we should be praying to the Lord, you know, to engage us in His service, to purify our hearts, chaitavasa marjanam. But if we're chanting and at the same time maintaining our material attachments, we don't want to become free from them, then that is an offense. And once Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked a question by one of his disciples that Master, all of your disciples are following the same process, but some seem to be making rapid advancement and others are hardly making any advancement. So why? So in reply, he told the story of the wedding party, which some of you might have heard. That there was this is the traditional system in India, that I guess it goes on in other ways, in other places, but a little different cultural trappings, but the family from the bridegroom's side goes to the place of the wedding, to the family of the bride's side. Something like that's happening here. But probably Chandji and Sharanji, the daughter's getting married soon. But anyway, coming back to our point. So the wedding party was taking a boat down the river to the site of the wedding. And they boarded the boat at night, and they went to sleep, expecting that in the morning they'd wake up at the site. But in the morning when they woke up, they found that they were in exactly the same place. And they were very upset, and they accused the boatman that you weren't working. You weren't rowing. You were sleeping. He said, "No, I was rowing all night while you were sleeping. I was working very hard." So then it was a mystery what happened. And someone found that he'd forgotten to pull out the anchor. So he was working very hard, but because he left the anchor in, he didn't get anywhere. So that anchor is our material attachments. We can work very hard on our practices, but if we hold on to our material attachments, then we won't progress. Now that doesn't mean that we necessarily have to give up so-called material things, but we shouldn't be attached to them in a material way for sense gratification. But we should engage them in devotional service. But everything is Krishna's energy, so it's meant to be engaged in devotional service. But we shouldn't accept them in the mood of utilizing them for sense gratification. So if we chant in that mood to serve Krishna and purify our hearts and show us how to engage everything in his service, then we can interact with so-called material things without becoming entangled. Like His Holiness Indradhunya Swami, he's very expert in mobilizing the so-called material energy in Krishna's service. And so he's able to throw these tremendous festivals that are pleasing to Krishna and uplifting to the devotees and new people. And just a little point. I mean, it's the demigods are servants of Krishna, and so we can pray to them to help us in our service to Krishna, not because we think that they're equal to Krishna or they can do something that Krishna can't do, but just because sometimes the Vaishnavas are more merciful than Vishnu. So one of our deities on the altar here is what we think of as Sharmada. It was also a gift from His Holiness Indradhunya Swami, Lord Shiva. And so he governs false ego. And this last defense, aham mamaiti, I am mine, this is false ego. And so we can pray to him to free us from false ego and establish us in our actual constitutional position as servants of Krishna, his master. So now we will call forward the new initiates. You can just offer obeisances to the altar, offer obeisances to Maharaj, and come here and offer obeisances. And we will start with Bhaktin Andrea, which is 1 year older than Shamaka. So as Maharaj mentioned on this occasion, the new initiates take certain vows to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and to follow certain regulative principles. So, what are the four regulative principles that you promise to follow every day for the rest of your life?
No eating of meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling.
Good. Would you care to elaborate on what no intoxicants means?
No.
It's so far from her consciousness that she can't even think of it.
Nothing that... drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, caffeine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Probably with some no coffee, tea, or cigarettes. What to speak of. Okay, good. And how many rounds do you promise to chant every day?
A minimum of 16.
Good. And is there anything else you would like to say on this auspicious occasion, in this august assembly?
The first time I met you, you gave me my first instruction. And you told me to give this life to Krishna.
You're doing that.
So,
try.
Thank you for that first instruction.
So, as we discussed, you should read also, of course. And yeah, give this life to Krishna. Give it to Srila Prabhupada, his mission.
Yeah, can you hand me the orange bead bag?
Thank you, Mom.
At the first, I think practically the first initiation ceremony that Srila Prabhupada performed when he came to America, the mother of Brahmananda Prabhu, Nagamuni Prabhu, was present, and he had Brahmananda offer his obeisances and take the dust of his mother's feet. Yes.
No, not for business, it's just hugger.
Different culture.
Yeah.
So, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, we're accepting you as our duly initiated disciple. And from my side, I will do everything in my power to bring you to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, at whose feet all Prabhupada, at whose feet all other masters sit. And by his mercy, we'll all go back home, back to Godhead. And from this day forth, you will be known as Ananda Gopika Dasi. Gopika is a name for Srimati Radharani. She is God has his male aspect and his female aspect. So Krishna is the name for the male aspect and Radha is the name for the female aspect. When we chant Hare Krishna, the Hare refers to Radha and the Krishna refers to Krishna. So her name, Gopika, is a name for Radha, and Ananda means specifically Radha who gives bliss to Krishna and to all devotees. And then Dasi means maidservant of. We all have that name, Das or Dasi, servant. So Ananda Gopika Dasi means she's the maidservant of Ananda Gopika, or Radharani, who gives bliss, Ananda. Hare Krishna.
Nice name.
And next, Janava. Same thing, offer obeisances. So Janava, her parents are devotees. Her father has first initiation from Srila Prabhupada, Paramdham, and second from me. And her mother, Ganga Dasi, also has. So they could not be here in person like Ananda Gopika's mother. But they're probably watching it on the live streaming.
There's several thousand people watching.
Well, I'm glad you told me now because it's too late to feel nervous. Too much to go on into it. To
at least a few hundred.
But yeah, she's. Very sweet young devotee, and in following Krishna consciousness from the beginning of her life, as Maharaj mentioned, or to paraphrase what Maharaj said, as Vritaktaja Swami puts it, these children are born into the Hare Krishna movement. But they still have to decide whether they want to join the Hare Krishna movement or not. So she's made the conscious decision to dedicate her life in Krishna consciousness. So what are the four principles that you vow to follow? And how many rounds do you promise to chant?
At least 16.
Good. And what about Ekadasi?
25.
You think you can do 25 on Ekadasi?
I will try.
He'll try. We should try. We should try. Good. And is there anything else you would like to say on this occasion?
Since I was small, my parents always had you as a spiritual master. I always saw you as my spiritual master, but I'm extremely grateful that you gave me the opportunity to be able to come here and actually be in your association. And thank you for accepting me and being my father.
Well, we're very happy to have you come here. Very happy. And it has, thickened a spiritual relationship. So, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara, and again, Srila Prabhupada he's our founder acharya. He's the at whose feet all of us prabhus sit, and he'll take us all back to Godhead if we follow him. So on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, I'm pleased to accept you as my duly initiated disciple. And henceforth your name will be Janava Devi Dasi. There was some discussion about the name. But Maharaj concluded, because I gave her the name when she was born, so that was also coming from me, or from Parampara through me. But we've added the Devi Dasi, so that makes it different, more complete. So thank you all for coming and staying with us so far. It's been a memorable occasion. Yeah.